Hello, Dreadheads. We cover some pretty heavy topics here in the Asylum, and even for seasoned enthusiasts like us, researching and going down deep rabbit holes on brutal crimes and other macabre events can have an effect on your mental health. All joking aside, both Otis and I take mental health very seriously, specifically suicide, which is an issue near and dear to us both. So if you or anyone you know is dealing with depression or suicidal thoughts or actions, please reach out to someone who can help. Sometimes just talking to a stranger, free from any judgment, can make all the difference.
You can contact the National Suicide Prevention Hotline by calling 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. You can also visit their website at suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Again, that's suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Just remember that your life is more valuable than anything else, and you are not alone.
And now, enjoy the show.
Yes, I'm here to tell you about a brand new attraction, Mary the Monkey Girl. Oh yeah, that's right. This here little honey is half real human, half monkey. I brought all the way from the wilds of Borneo. So y'all come in, make sure you bring little Johnny and Susie with you. She'll scare the holy guacamole out of them. And remember, while you're down here, pick up your Captain Spaulding for President t-shirts. In all shapes and sizes, small, medium, large, and jumbo for our big bone friends. Ha ha! We all know how you got that way too, huh? Yes, from eating my delicious fried chicken. Oh yes, just keeps getting better all the time. God bless America, and God bless Captain Spaulding. Ha ha!
If you're gonna start the killing, you best start it right here. Make sure I'm all the way dead. 'Cause I'll come back and make you my bitch. Otis B. Dreads here. Y'all remember Happy Boy here?
Happy Boy SJ, that's right. Coming live from the Insane Asylum. And don't forget to take home some of my tasty fried chicken. Ha ha! It just tastes so damn good. A book, 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 a book, 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 a 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 book.
Oh man, I hate to laugh at such a sad day. Although this is Night Living Dreads, by the way, Night Living Dreads podcast.
Yeah, we should submit.
And it is a sad day throughout the horror community, as you could tell by. Right after the intro and our very colorful favorite quotes that we have from one Sid Haig, who passed away Saturday, the 21st of September. This is the 23rd of September, 2019. And we lost a horror icon, a movie icon. And it is a sad day, but I think with all of that, we should really focus on his legacy. Let's celebrate his life. It is going to be I guess you know hard in a sense when you know maybe If you're older than me, you grew up watching a lot of the old westerns that he was involved in, a lot of the TV series and shows that we'll get into in you know, one sec. But it's you know, we still want to turn this kind of around and make it a celebration of the man we know and love is Sid Haig, otherwise known, I think, more popular or more in the horror community as Captain Spaulding. But Sid Haig, born Sidney Eddie Mosesian, he was born July 14, 1939. And as I mentioned, he passed away just a couple days ago. American actor, film producer, and musician.
I didn't know that.
I did not either. I did, you know, start, you know, looking into his past, and he was a dancer. You want to hear something funny about that? Is he grew because he's a very tall guy, but he grew so quick as a child that he was clumsy. He even states himself that he would trip over a dime. So at 6 years old, he was put into like a dancing class to help him get some, you know, type, I guess, not really rhythm in a dancing sense, but get some fucking coordination.
Coordination, yeah. And I can relate to that. I'm a lanky dude myself, and yeah, I always felt like that growing up. Like I could trip over a dime or a toothpick would fuck me up.
I'm the same way, my friend. I'm a tall, lanky guy, and yes, you can kind of get caught up in those long, lanky legs.
You just look weird doing stuff when you're lanky, you know.
You kind of do. It just, yeah, it does look awkward, don't it?
Hey, some chicks dig it.
Some do.
I found one. I found the only one that thinks it's sexy. Shout out to Amber, by the way. Yep.
Well, good for you, man. Congratulations.
I can finally get laid now.
I wouldn't go that far. She's only doing it because she's committed.
Exactly. We are married, so, you know. Right. You know how that goes. You're married, too. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Sid Haig.
I mean, this train derailed, but no, back to old Sid Haig. Some of his roles included acting in Jack Hill's Blaxploitation. That was almost a bad one. Films of the 70s.
Careful
well,
now.
Yeah, as well as his role as I mentioned, Captain Spaulding, and of course, House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and Three from Hell. He also had some roles in some television series, which a lot of these caught me by surprise. Some of those include Jason of Star Command as the villain Dragos. He appeared in some other shows such as Batman.
And I'm assuming they mean the 60s Batman. Obviously they do, but I used to watch that, the 60s Batman.
I did too, yeah.
Show, but I don't remember ever seeing this guy.
Well, then again, you may have seen him. You just didn't know who the hell he was.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is, how was he not the Joker? Can you imagine that if he was the Joker back then?
Interesting. Although I do like the 60s Joker and those Batman.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm not taking anything away from that guy, which I should know his name. But anyway, yeah, Batman.
Star Trek, Mission Impossible, Gunsmoke. The Rockford Files, and let's see, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. That just sounds great. Almost sounds like a porno.
I think I might have seen it, actually.
Okay.
I think it was Dinah Girl and Electra Woman. It was the other way around, the version I saw, but I bought it from some guy, from some guy's trunk. He just had a trunk full of DVDs. That's just kind of shit I do, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, and what else was he in, Dredd?
Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. I used to watch that as a kid. Get Smart, Fantasy Island, Sledgehammer, The A-Team, The Fall Guy, The Duke's Hazard. Just the 10 of us and MacGyver.
Wow. What a TV show repertoire he has there. That a lot of big fucking shows there.
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of real popular ones back in the early 80s, late 70s, in the 70s, some in the 60s. Big name shows going on there that spanning, 30 years.
Yeah, and a lot of these shows are, as you know, I'm an 80s kid. I'm like a mid-80s kid.
Okay.
So these are kind of shows I would watch on, like, Nick at Night.
Right.
You know, like I remember watching Get Smart and, Fantasy Island, a lot of these shows. And so, but
now I would have fell out of my chair if I would have seen Kids Incorporated on there. You remember that one?
Oh, Jesus. No, I don't. What is that?
That was mid-80s. Just a bunch of kids who, have this little band or whatnot, and it's a little sitcom, but they're in like a band. I don't know. It's kind of dumb now that I look at it, but back then it was, kind of fucking cool.
It was cooler than the Partridge Family back in the day?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. I thought anything would be cooler than the Partridge Family, but
I don't know where we're going with that one, but tell me some of SJ's the favorite parts. The quote, is that one of your favorite ones that you spoke earlier? The chicken, is that one of your favorites?
I think the commercials, those commercials that were in, I think they were both in House of a Thousand Corpses. I don't remember. I don't think there were any Spalding commercials in Devil's Rejects. So
yes,
I just think there was. Okay, it's been a while. Sorry, guys. Sorry. But no, those commercials, you can take any line from any of them, and those are some of my favorite Spalding quotes. I have to admit this. I'm not familiar with a lot of his characters that he portrayed in other movies or TV shows. Right. I think, like a lot of horror fans, we were kind of introduced to this guy through that first movie, House of a Thousand Corpses, Captain Spaulding.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Almost everything that comes out of his mouth is gold. So, it's hard to pick out a favorite quote. It.
Yeah, yeah. And even in interviews, he's a very colorful interview from some of the ones that I've seen. He has this, had this, I don't give a fuck attitude.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like, this is me, and you're just going to have to take it or leave it, whatever. I think that was portrayed a lot in, his role as Captain Spaulding. And I'm sure possibly in other roles that he played, because like yourself, I'm not, very familiar with a lot of the other movies that he did. As a matter of fact, one movie when NLD goes to the movies, and we have Dom on the one of the last ones that we did, I did a movie called Spider Baby. That was the one I picked. I believe it was from like 1965-ish. And it actually had Sid Haig in it. A very clean-shaven, Sid Haig. And he had like no speaking lines. He was almost, kind of like a grown infant. You have to check that weird out. That sounds
weird and very interesting.
It is. Check that out. That other than any of his horror, other than the horror that he's been in, and mainly House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and of course the Spider Baby. I'm not all that knowledgeable of his acting resume. Okay.
Yeah.
But he, he's been a very accomplished actor. I just put it that way.
Yeah, just reading his resume, even as just a fan of him, you can tell he's had a seasoned history in the game of acting and movies and TV and apparently music too, from that first little paragraph you know. I don't know what his musical kind of background was, but you know, when somebody passes away like this, and even if they are not, for example, an Arnold Schwarzenegger, where you can name all the fucking movies this guy's been in and all the TV shows he's been in. When somebody passes away like this, who's become an icon in a genre, it doesn't quite matter as much if you know or are familiar with the entire filmography of this person. It's right. Just the impact that they kind of made on the genre. And when it comes to Sid Haig, I mean, Captain Spaulding is up there now with just any number of iconic horror villains / anti-heroes. I don't know what you would classify Captain Spaulding as, but
those two kind of hit the nail on the head, I think.
I think so too. And so, yeah, it's one of those cases where we lost somebody that had such a specific talent for playing a bad guy. And that's a hard quality to come by. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that can play a bad guy so convincingly well, but you kind of also love him at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah.
Yeah. He hit that nail on the head whenever he was given a villainous role like that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. We lost a massive talent.
Yeah, a couple of days ago. His portrayal of the character Captain Spaulding, I think most can agree that he's one of the favorite characters in at least House of a Thousand Corpses, because he was very animated, more so in that. But there was still a lot of really classic Spaulding, Sid Haig moments in Devil's Rejects.
Oh, definitely, yeah. The scene with the kid in the car and like clowns?
Right.
Aren't we fucking funny? That one always gets me. This kid's scared shitless. But he doesn't harm the kid anyway, just kind of puts the fear of clown into him.
The fear of clown. That's good. You want to hear a little backstory that I heard? Because, of course, you know, being a fan of Zombie and there's House and Devil's Rejects and whatnot, you know, I own a hard copy of it. And, you know, there's a commentary, you know, Rob does a commentary while you're watching the movie. He tells you little tidbits about, you know, the making of some, you know, I don't know, just, you know, fuck ups. And one was that, and if you look, if you watch that scene again, you watch the kid, watch the little boy, because he really does almost look like he's going to burst out laughing. And the funny thing is
I remember this now.
Yeah, he, you know, Zombie said that it was hard for, you know, them to do that because the kid kept laughing at Sid in his clown makeup. He was not scared at all.
What a ballsy kid.
Right. he said he absolutely loved it.
I think he, a kid that just kind of got what they were going for.
Exactly.
Like,
kid's got a future.
That kid was in the moment. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Now I'm going to come back. And if you ain't got a reason why you don't like clowns, I'm killing you and your whole fucking family. Get out of the car. That's
great. And that kid later grew up to be Rob Zombie.
That's good shit, man. I really don't know, you know, really what else to say other than all of us here at Night of the Living Dreads, that being myself, of course, SJ, Mrs. Dreads, who is not with us tonight, and Dom, who takes us to the movies a couple times a month. I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for all of us when I say, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the Haig family, and it's a hard time anytime you lose anyone. He lived a full life, though, I would say. You know, he was 80 years old. Again, as we mentioned, he had a very successful acting career, and really made his mark in the horror genre, if nothing else.
Yeah, definitely. And there is a lot more. There is a lot more to his career than horror, but
sure.
Yeah, as fans of the genre, yeah, we have to just kind of bow down and all take a little moment today to remember Sid and his family while they're going through this time now. But, you know, we always have the movies and those iconic moments that he put down on celluloid, so to speak, for yeah. all eternity. And you know what? That's a great legacy to leave behind, man. And he even got his little part of Three from Hell. I haven't seen it yet. I know you have. So that'll be a podcast coming up in the future. But at least he even got to make that last cameo as Spalding in that one. So the legacy lives on, man.
Yeah, you know, and as far as the cause of death, a lot of reports are stating there is none. Of course, you know, you can take Wikipedia with a grain of salt, but it makes sense. He got a little infection by vomiting, and you know, I guess in his sleep or whatnot, and
yeah,
that caused an infection in his lungs. And it said on his wiki site that it was. His death was at least in part due to the infection that he sustained due to that getting into his lungs. But that none of that has really been confirmed, and I don't think it really matters. What really matters is that, you know, like you've said, you know, we lost an icon in whatever genre of movies or TV that you remember seeing Sid on, that's what we need to hold true. And you're absolutely right. You know, we have in the age of, you know, the internet, and you have Roku and you got the Fire Sticks, we can always go back and watch some of these old shows, as well as, you know, watch a lot of the movies that, you know, he's been in, and laugh, you know.
Yep.
Laugh, clown.
Right, exactly.
So, and I think that's really, you know, how we need to, you know, remember him. He lived his life to the fullest, and, you know, he's going to be sorely missed, you know, obviously. With his, you know, immediate family, and again, our thoughts and prayers here from the Living Dreads to the Haig family. It's a sad day. That's how I woke up this morning with Mrs. Dreads telling me, you know, I'm half asleep on the couch, you know, waiting for my ride to pick me up from work for work, and Jody snaps me out of it, and Kurt. Huh? What? Sid Haig died. What? It was almost like a family member, you know. You spend so much time watching, you know, these movies, falling in love with the characters that he portrayed. It's almost like you lost a fucking family member, you know. I mean, did you get any sense of that?
I did. It hit me pretty hard. Every once in a while, a celebrity, so to speak, or somebody that you kind of look up to will die, like in the case of Sid, and it just kind of comes out of nowhere. But with Sid Haig, one of the saddest parts about it is that it wasn't totally unexpected, you know.
No,
we were no. All of us were kind of, as horror fans, I mean, all of us were all kind of not waiting for the news, hoping that we didn't get it, you know.
Knowing it was going to happen. It was
knowing it was going to happen, or something was going to, or maybe he would not be able to be in movies again, or So, you know, in a way, when death strikes like that, it's, it's always a gut punch. But it, I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't lessen the blow when you kind of knew the person was sick in the first place.
Right.
And you were kind of halfway expecting it. So that's kind of how I felt. When you actually told me, you broke the news to me today. I was at work and, you know, we've been busy with the podcast and work and just life. So I haven't been, you know, online keeping up with stuff necessarily this past weekend. So, yeah, it was a shock. It was.
It really was. And you said it perfect. You know, you really don't. I mean, it really doesn't matter whether you know it's inevitably coming, maybe because of his health issues. Or whatnot, or just the fact that he's 80, you know.
Yeah, that too.
So, but you know that it's kind of coming, and I think we can all agree. Some of the last pictures, you know, that we saw of Sid, he, you know, lost a lot of weight. He looked kind of frail.
Yeah, he did.
There, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one, you know, to think this, but, you know, I know, you know, you can just look at him and tell, yes, something's going on. He is sick from something.
And, right.
Yeah, it's sad, but hey, let's end this with a happy note. And again, to reiterate, just, you know, enjoy his legacy, whether it be the television series that, you know, you may have grown up on, or whether it be the movies, horror or not, that you love him in. And let's just take it, you know, from there and cherish his legacy, keep it going. And tutti fucking frutti.
Tutti fucking frutti, man. You got to live every day like it's Dia de los Muertos down in Mexico, man. I like the way they celebrate death. It's almost a celebration rather than a, you know, a traditional funeral. So that's kind of how I look at it here. Let's be happy that he did the stuff he did and created the art that he did, and let's treasure it forever. And let's move on, man. That's the only thing that we can do here. We're still up here above ground. Sid Haig, love you. He's in the great beyond now. We have to keep living for him, man.
That's right.
And keep this horror community going strong, because I think, that's one of the things he would like to see.
Yeah, he was very in touch with his fans at horror conventions. And
he dug it. I think he dug the whole thing.
He really did, yeah. I never got the chance to meet him. That'll be a huge regret in my life, never getting a chance to get to a convention that he was at to meet him personally. But I know, you know, a few people that have, and what they tell me, he's everything that I pictured, you know, him to be.
Yeah.
That I would imagine he would be in person. So, all right, we're going to switch topics here. You recently watched a documentary, SJ, and I think I've mentioned this documentary because we're going to talk a little bit of Charles Manson. I know there's motherfuckers out there that's like, God, why are you going to talk about Manson? God, again? Can we, you know, Jesus, how much more can you say about the fucking guy? Okay, well, I almost wanted to, you know, throw out my favorite line, meaning go fuck yourself. But we are going to talk about Charles Manson, but in a different aspect. Yes, we're going to talk about some of the, the crimes involved, the story, but we're hitting a different area of good old Charlie Manson. There's a lot, and we brought this up just chatting one night, not on a podcast, I don't believe. No, actually, it was on a podcast, the podcast we just did a couple days ago. And I'm tired of, I don't like, it actually makes my blood boil when I hear people say that Charles Manson is a serial killer.
I know you have strong feelings.
I do, and I think you mentioned it on the podcast when I brought that up, because when we were talking about serial killer fandom And, of course, his name came up in it because of his fans and his following and whatnot. And
but
you
does
said
his name
you said
belong?
That you were kind of on the fence. So, why don't you name... tell me about that?
I just, I'm on the fence. I think you can't. Okay, first off,
are we losing you? Agree. Was that your internet connection, or you just stumbled?
No, that was me. That was me buffering myself there. I think most people that are true crime fanatics would answer that question: is Manson a serial killer? With an emphatic no. I think most people agree that he's can't be classified as a serial killer. And I guess we'll get into all the reasons why, but the reason I guess I said I was on the fence is exactly what you just said. He's always brought up in the same conversation as these other people that are definitely serial killers.
Right.
And it just, he's the one that doesn't fit in. He's the one thing that's not like the others. And it's more of a cult leader type of individual, if you ask me. I mean, that's putting it into a nutshell. This is a huge, huge case and a lot of ins and outs and details. So it's hard to, you know, encapsulate the whole Manson personality or whatever his type of psychopath was.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't classify him, and I think a lot of people would echo my feelings about this, not a traditional serial killer. So,
okay, we'll play devil's advocate for me, if you will, SJ, and convince me that he is a serial killer.
Well, that's going to be hard to do because the guy didn't kill anybody. And technically, I think to be considered a serial killer based on who was it that actually coined the term serial killer? Was it Robert Ressler? One of those guys from Mindhunter. Have you seen Mindhunter, by the way?
I love that series.
Yeah, it's pretty great. But Manson, I couldn't make a case for him actually being an active serial killer because he just didn't get his hands bloody. So, I mean,
I'll play devil's advocate.
Yeah, you play devil's advocate.
Okay. If I was a person who was of the thought that Manson is a serial killer, the only thing that I can think of that they could use or that I could use to prove my point or try and convince somebody is that Manson convinced people to do his bidding. Therefore, he was just as guilty as those that actually did the deed. Therefore, he is equally as compliant.
Bullshit. I call bullshit.
I would too. I would too. But that's the only argument that when I've gotten to, you know, conversations regarding this with friends and whatnot, that's about the only thing that they can come up with. So then I rebut. Like, okay, and I'll do it like you were that guy, okay? SJ, okay. If I told you that, X, Y, and Z, they deserve to die, and let's say you looked, and I was of cult, you know, a cult figure, a cult leader, and you looked up to me like a lot of his followers did him, saw him, you know, as whatever, okay, bigger than they were, I guess.
A god.
Say.
Yeah. In some cases.
Yes.
They thought he was a fucking god.
Yeah. Right, right. Now, if I told you, and you were of that same mindset as a lot of his followers were, okay, if I told you, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, they deserve to die. They're not, you know, fighting the good fight or whatever I come up with. And you go and kill them people. Does that make me a serial killer? No, that just means your dumbass did not figure out what's right and wrong. And you didn't have enough, you know, I guess, common sense within yourself to say, wait, this guy's just, you know, he's suggesting that I fucking kill people. you know, but because I look up to him, I must do this. That's just, I don't think you can take and lump a person into, you know, if I tell you to do that, you couldn't lump me into the actual physical act of murdering somebody that you may commit because I told you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I guess the question of it all comes down to, is it a criminal act to kind of work somebody's mind, somebody that's more vulnerable than you,
manipulate somebody and
manipulate
their
mind? And yeah, and that's what happened a lot with the whole quote Manson family. These were kids from, you know, horrible backgrounds a lot of the times, and they were kind of looking for anything. And I think what they found in Manson's Spawn Ranch, and we're kind of fast forwarding in the story there, I guess, but almost a collective, a hippie community, like a commune type of thing. And so if Manson were to tell these vulnerable kids from, you know, runaways or whatever they were, mm-hmm, to go kill XYZ person, no, that's that does not make you a serial killer. That makes you a highly suggestive, almost a hypnotic personality type. And I don't know if you could ever convict that in a court of law just based on that.
Right.
The fact that you're able to kind of lull people into your web. I think we talked about this before, but I might be going slightly off topic, but that Manson would dose his family with acid, with LSD, and he would remain sober, and then, you know, while they're tripping balls, kind of preach and just,
which made
say
them,
all
you know,
kinds
they,
of
they
crazy
were, they
stuff.
Were, they were very suggestive at that point,
right?
You know, being you know, tripping or whatever it was,
and he made sure he stayed sober, so he, you know, could kind of control the narrative, so to speak. I don't have a reference point for that little detail, so don't take me at face value with that. But
I always kind of thought that, you know, he kind of did it with the family. That I don't know. It was a family affair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he was tripping balls like a lot in the 60s and 70s, but I think he kind of knew the drug, and maybe these kids don't know it as well. You know what I mean? So
yeah. You
get these new kids into the ranch and kind of get them situated. And, you know, look how cool it is out here. This is just us out in nature, and we're away from society,
right,
which is kind of what all these kids wanted.
Yeah.
And we can just be free and, you know, free love. It was the free love kind of times.
Sure.
But, you know, by that point, you know, because Manson had been in and out of jail pretty much his entire life, period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But by that point, you know, I'm sure he knew the effects of acid and how to kind of use it to manipulate people that maybe haven't tripped acid before,
mm-hmm,
to kind of create his own narrative. And, you know, there's so much to go into. It's a huge story, but so
no, it really is. And one way you could get I think a good glimpse into the story is a documentary that you recently watched. I think I brought it up on the podcast the last time that we discussed Manson here in the Insane Asylum, quite a few podcasts back. And it's a movie called Charles Manson: The Final Words. It's narrated by Rob Zombie. Now, mind you, he is no Otis, but he does a good job.
He's passable.
It's passable, yeah. I mean, Otis approves of his narration. What did you think about that? Because tonight was the first time you've seen this doc, right?
Yeah, you're asking me specifically about his narration or
no,
the whole thing
just
overall?
A documentary. We'll let his narration slide for the time being.
Yeah, like we're not exactly professionals here where we can critique his. He did a good job on that, but
he did.
I thought overall the whole documentary was, it was very well put together. I thought it was great, honestly. It kind of, there were some people and details from the case that I had not been aware of before. So that's always a good,
right.
Maybe that just means I'm ignorant to the case in the first place, but
no, there were some that I didn't recognize either. And I love watching a documentary that maybe I thought I knew a whole lot about whatever the documentary is about.
That's always
all
exciting
to hear something new.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always exciting when you, when one pops up that you thought you knew everything about and like, oh, nope, here's like six other little details you had no idea about.
Yeah,
and that's kind of how I felt about this one. Yeah. So I think it was, well, obviously the fact that he had been in touch with Manson in the year leading up to his death.
Right.
That's intriguing. All those, audio clips and, you know, the phone calls, because that's all brand new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we've all heard the Manson interviews. I'm sure you've watched the ones where he's acting like an insane person. Yeah. Which he pretty much was, I guess, but I don't know how much of that was an act, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He still kind of came across as just as psychotic as those old ABC or NBC news interviews, but just in kind of a different way. And I think Zombie kind of got him to open up on the phone. I don't know if you agree with me on that point, but
I think that you know, you're only going to get Manson to open up as much as he, you know, will let you. Oh, you know what I'm
right.
saying? I mean, you can push and push. And this is just my opinion. I think you can push and push for someone, you know, like Charles Manson to open up about things. I mean, go back and, you know, think about the Geraldo interview. Geraldo pushed his buttons, pushed his buttons, tried to get him to admit to all kinds of shit. Manson wouldn't budge. So I think what you get from Manson is genuine, yes, sometimes crazy sounding, but genuine nonetheless. And he's giving you what he wants to give you, not necessarily what you want. But I do agree with you. I think that you did hear a lot of new things from the man himself on these telephone calls. I think it was typical Manson. You could tell he was older.
Yeah.
You know, he's in his 70s at this point. He doesn't really still has that charisma. Don't get me wrong, but
you know,
it's not that youthful charisma. I guess we all, you know, have seen the clips for.
Yeah, but he was saying kind of the same stuff he's always been saying. You know, this is you know, without using his exact words.
Exactly.
A lot of his, what he's always had to say was along these lines. Society is society. It's fucked up. It's going down the tubes. We all know it is.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing me.
Right.
And you're just doing you.
Yep.
And who am I? I'm nobody. Who are you? You're nobody. And in a strange way, he's right about those kind of points.
Absolutely.
You know, in a really esoteric kind of way.
Sure.
But it's totally disturbing to see a so-called deranged guy saying those kind of things when I don't know how many times Amber and I, my wife and I have sat outside over some beers and some weed and expounded upon the universe and like, what does it all mean? Like, that's basically what he's going for, but he's just in the minds of most people, a serial killer. So whatever he has to say doesn't resonate with people, even though it's often some poetic shit he's saying, you know?
Right. No, a lot of the shit he says is poetic. You can go to YouTube. A perfect example of this is you go to YouTube and you put in, I think it's just Charles Manson genius, you know, question mark, question mark, question mark. I'm sorry. Charles Manson crazy, question mark, question mark. And he goes through like a 3 or 4 minute, you know, spiel from, you know, I believe it was from taken. The excerpts were taken from a documentary, Charles Manson Superstar, which actually goes right along with the last podcast that we did talking more about the media and people making him into, you know, this mythical god or whatnot, and not really looking at him, you know, just looking at what he is, I guess, you know, if that makes any fucking sense. But yeah, and it's really, I mean, he says shit like, you know, well, you know, who would want to be president, you know, when you got 300 million people, or I think at the time, you know, you got 250 million people, you right. know, starving. Why do you want to be at the head of that, you know, and going on, and his shit was, it was like, oh my God, that's absolutely right. I mean, the things that he's saying, you're absolutely right. It made so much sense. So, and sometimes he would sound that way, like, God, man, listen to this. And then other times you're like, God, man, listen to this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it kind of makes you wonder if we locked a guy away who, you know, had something else to offer to society.
Sure.
And this guy who didn't actually kill anybody.
Physically, a petty criminal is basically all he was.
Yeah, he's a career criminal, just petty kind of thief. Always
yeah.
in and out of jail, more comfortable in jail than outside. And he's made that very clear too.
Yep.
Like I'm not meant for the outside. I'm not meant for you people. Like if you people outside could be as at home in the quote free world as I am in my own head, then you wouldn't have people like me. Like yeah, he really does say some shit that makes you think. And it makes you wonder if we put a guy in jail and just created almost a, I don't want to say a Rain Man, but the guy was in jail for what, 40, 50 years?
Yeah, it was, yeah, 40 some years of his life, if not more. Yeah, quite
so
possibly.
So he had all that time to sit down and think.
And most of the time in solitary confinement. Most of the time he's just by himself.
Right. And he didn't go completely batshit insane. He didn't start smearing his shit on the walls of the cell or, you know, fucking assaulting the guards.
I would do that day three.
I think I would do that hour three.
This guy. He's covered in his own dookie again after 20 minutes in solitary.
Oh, you forgot to put my straight jacket on me, man. That's what happens.
I sent you a size that you said fit. Ain't my fucking problem.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, I could scratch my balls in that one. Right.
So, he's an interesting
yes.
character.
Serial killer, no.
No, I agree. I mean, I've made it abundantly clear that it just aggravates the shit out of me when, you know, people say he was a serial killer. He, you know, it's quite possible, yeah, he maybe talked people into doing shit. Maybe he just made a statement and these people looked at him as such a god that they just took what he said and went about their own, you know, path and whatnot, just, you know, going off of what he said. And, you know, hey, I don't think he's a serial killer. But I would like
Do
to
think
hear
he's...
what some of the listeners, you know, yeah, have to say on this. Is he a serial killer? Is he just a pretty much a cult leader, somebody, you know, very skilled in manipulation? Does that put you in the same category, in the same realm, in the same ballpark as somebody who actually goes out and commits the actual act? I would have to disagree. He had to be charged on a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Under California conspiracy law.
From SJ.
What?
Yeah. You're right. No, I was just saying, I have to agree with your statement.
No.
Definitely not a serial killer. I don't think anybody would argue for that, honestly.
It'd be hard.
But go ahead
to,
with the,
that's why I wanted to throw the devil's advocate out there to see if you could do it. And I could only come up with one thing that could possibly, even possibly, maybe with somebody with half a brain might believe. But I don't know.
You were going into something.
Go ahead.
You're going into something interestinger at the end of what you were just saying.
Okay.
What got him actually convicted, the notion of vicarious responsibility? Were you about to go into that?
Well, I was just making mention that, you know, he was Bugliosi was able to convict him under the California conspiracy law, which was based primarily off this helter-skelter, you know, type deal that, you know, the whole race war, and he was, you know, kind of the leader of this hippie army and whatnot. And they got him under conspiracy because they couldn't pinpoint him to any of the murders. It's only said that, okay. that I think he... Oh, he didn't know what it wasn't Tate. It was LaBianca. He tied her. I can't remember Rosemary. He tied Rosemary up. It said and then left.
And made some threats and stuff like that. And then left.
Yeah. Apparently, he ordered them to you know do whatever, and then he left. I think it might have been the Tate murders and that. He was like at that point. He was like 40 miles away,
right? From, but didn't from he also? Herd. I mean,
yeah.
Going off the documentary thing, this is probably going down a rabbit hole. We don't have time to go down all the way. But the motorcycle club, the Straight Satans.
Straight Satans, yeah.
He had owed some money to that biker club, and I don't know the. That documentary was a whirlwind of information, so the details are still kind of swirling around in my head, but yeah. I would encourage all the Dreadheads to go out and watch that, because it's a little bit too much to get into in this one podcast.
Oh,
but
it is, yeah. I mean, we could do
an entire podcast. It'll make you think about
it. Yeah, we could do an entire podcast just on the information that was yes. put into this documentary and the different yes. Angles that... there's different theories swirling around this case and different things that I learned just like you're saying. Yeah, it was actually a Reels R-E-E-L-Z. You have you know cable or use a Roku or whatever. The Reels network. It was I think it, I don't know if it was just an exclusive thing that they put out. They do.
It was branded.
What's that?
Branded by Reels. So I think it was.
Yeah.
When you. Yeah.
So
it's kind of one of those originals.
Yeah, and you can you know go to your cable provider or whatever or check it out on whatever device or whatnot that you use to you know. Get your cable or whatnot, and you can check it out. I highly suggest it. Charles Manson, The Final Words. There is a trailer on YouTube that you can see if you want to see what you're getting into. I think you'd be very intrigued if, even though it is Manson, I hear people, why are you doing Manson? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, we've heard it all before. Well, yeah. It's still, as much as I've looked into Manson, I still found new shit out in this documentary.
Right, right. Yeah. You haven't heard it all before. So, and even if you have, even if you're so jaded that you'll still watch this doc and say, I didn't learn anything new from it. I think most people will get something out of it, even just based on the production value and the fact that it's Rob Zombie narrating it. I mean, it's a great 2 hours, you know, on a day off from work or something. Go check it out.
Yeah.
Everybody go check it out. It's a great documentary. It really is.
I agree. And I hear footsteps. That must mean the white coats. Bastards.
Fucking goddamn.
Just when it always starts to get good, man. And fucking white coats come down the hall, want to take us back to our fucking cell. And
well, hey, at least we get those sweet, sweet pills before we go to bed.
We do.
You get the pink one?
No, I get the purple one.
Oh, fuck. Maybe we can trade.
I would love
to. Hide that shit in your cheek, man. We'll meet up in the rec room tomorrow and swap pills.
Awesome, awesome. Drug deals in the rec room here in the insane asylum. Yes, check out that documentary, and I guess I should give a little shout out to you know the horror love it did not do given the you know circumstances of what we started the podcast off with, but of course Horror Hounds of Horror over there on Facebook, closed and open group, check them out, Misfit Horror Fiend Club, and let's see, we got a zombie boob.
Yeah.
Jody one time said that, you know, she pictures a zombie boob like, you know, the hand in Idle Hands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Idle Hands.
That's a great one.
Back when Jessica Alba was one of my, anyway, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, yeah. We don't want to get into that.
No, I don't want to do that.
We have to have Slaughterhouse Slaughter on, Wayne.
Slaughter on, Garth.
Woo, you are on it, brother. You are on it. Yes. Damn.
Yes. That
was awesome. Of course, After Dark, where your watch party needs. And, of course, the non-horror love goes to Cannabis Arcade. Cannabis with a K. And, of course, yours truly, S.J. and Otis. We're over there at Night of Living Dreads on Facebook, nightoflivingdreads.com. Of course, Dreads with no what?
A. No fucking A in Dreads, guys.
No fucking A. No,
there is no A in Dreads. Fucking A. Tootie fucking Fruity.
Tootie fucking Fruity. And if you want to send us an email, get in contact with us, nightlivingdreads@gmail.com. If you want to talk to us about this show or any of the other ones, feel free to drop us some electronic mail. We dig that shit. We love it. And if it's good enough, hell, we'll read it on the podcast.
Yeah, that would be great. I'll read it in any voice you want to.
Hey, will you read it in Grandpa?
Or Otis. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I'll do a whole podcast. How would
you,
style,
can you get give everybody a little sample of Grandpa? That'd be Grandpa Simpson.
Grandpa Homer's, Simpson. Abraham Simpson. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. It's been really fun putting this out for all of you horror fans. We'll catch you next time.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.